This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community. Tonight we're talking all things spirituality, and we're going to be spending some time on the lounge with Simon McCall from St. Michael's Church, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Midsummer and those sorts of things. If you'd like to join in on our conversation at any point, just give us a call on 1300 JOY 949, or you can email in onair@joy.org.au, or of course text us in 0427 JOY 949.
And remember last week that we actually talked with people that Andrew met when he went to NCYC, which is the National Christian Youth Convention?
Yes.
Yes!
Yeah. I met some characters, I think.
And we promised that we were going to do an inquisition of Andrew and find out what he got up to. So if you want to ask Andrew a question, anything at all, you've got the numbers, so please let us know and we will ask it.
And we're going to interrogate him later, aren't we, Andrew?
Yes.
We're going to tie him up.
I'm not looking forward to that, but yes, I'll be interrogating.
Did you bring the Bible so that you can swear the oath that you will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Got the Bible, got the handcuffs.
Oh my. I wasn't warned about this.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. And we've got a lovely track to kick off with this evening. One of my favourites. I saw this lady before she was even part of the Eurythmics. She used to be in a band called The Tourists. I was right up there in the front row. Lovely, lovely, lovely lady. This is the Eurythmics, and this is Miracle of Love.
Welcome back to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. We're here tonight with Simon McCall of St. Michael's Church. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
We're very excited to be able to speak with you tonight and kind of catch up. Welcome to our little couch. Can you tell us a little bit more about your church and perhaps your role within your church?
Okay, well, thank you very much for inviting me in to speak tonight. St. Michael's is part of the Uniting Church of Australia. It's in Coleman Street in the city, so it has very much a city presence, and it's probably reasonably unique within the Uniting Church in that the minister has been there for nearly 40 years, which is a long, long time. But he's always been at the forefront of, he likes to say, radical theology, a very inclusive theology, and he's also a clinical psychologist, so he marries that very much with positive theology and positive psychology.
Hmm. Very, very interesting. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I'm sorry, you asked me what I did in the church, I forgot.
Yes, what's your role?
I'm a church counsellor, and we have a council of about 60, with which is subdivided into various committees, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I understand, obviously, we're in the middle of the Midsummer Festival at the moment, and I understand that St. Michael's Church is quite heavily involved in that, and there's a particular service running this Sunday. Now, I have to read this title out because it's quite long. The title of the service is The Long and Hurtful Mood of Homophobia and the Theology of Acceptance. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? What, in layman's terms, Simon, what's this about on Sunday?
Well, Dr. McNabb, through this month, has been running his addresses on moods, and I'm not sure exactly when, but St. Michael's has always had a very positive outlook, particularly regarding the gay community, and I think we wanted to contribute in some way to Midsummer, to breaking down the concept of church necessarily having to be always about homophobia. He'll, on Sunday, talk a bit probably about the majority of the Christian church, particularly in history, about being very homophobic, but he'll cut through that about how we can be much more positive and have a much more positive theology and a much more positive Christianity. So I think it'll be very interesting.
And what format does that take? I mean, is it interactive?
It's pretty well much an address,
right.
So sort of like a small lecture. And then after church, within the church halls, there's a discussion group so people can have feedback and ask questions after that.
That's the interesting bit then, isn't it? Once he's delivered his sermon.
That's
heavy, you know, the long and hurtful mood of homophobia and the theology of acceptance. I mean, there's almost two different topics there, isn't there?
Oh, he'll weave it all in. He's been doing it a long time. He likes to have a bold title for his address.
Yeah. And fundamentally, what are Dr. McNabb's beliefs on this subject?
Well, he's very much against homophobia. He's very much against discrimination against people based on their sexual orientation. He's very supportive of same-sex marriage within Australia, or in the world, but particularly within Australia. So at that sort of level, he's extremely supportive. But on a sort of a more practical sense, as I was saying before, last year he christened the baby of a same-sex couple and was more than happy to do that. The church community was very happy to have that happen within the church. I must say he's got quite a few detractors in the Uniting Church, as you might imagine. It's not exactly necessarily a mainstream position for the church, but he feels very strongly that people should be accepted, whatever their sexual orientation, and they're all part of God's great diversity.
Fascinating. So if people want to come along to the service on Sunday, when, where, what time?
It starts at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's at 120 Collins Street, which is the corner of Collins and Russell. If they want more information, they can look at the website, which is stmichaels.org.au, or they can give the church office a call on 9654 5120.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us, and it's fantastic to hear that one of the churches in the CBD is participating in the Midsummer Fest with quite a big topic on Sunday. I'm sure the discussion afterwards will be fascinating. Yeah. Great to see you. Thank you for coming in. We'll go to the next track now.
Hello, this is Katie Lang on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Joy the Priest, Bertie the Pom, and Andrew the lovely boy.
That doesn't rhyme.
And that track was by the gorgeous, isn't she gorgeous, Betty? Liz Wright, girls, check her out on the website, lizwright.net. She is gorgeous, and the name of that track was Dreaming Wide Awake.
Mm. And it's Liz with two Zs.
It is.
American singer. Beautiful. Joy has got a picture of her up on the screen there, and I have to try and concentrate.
Just a minute, I'll get rid of that so that you can.
Now, come on, back to the plot, because the plot was we have to now interrogate young Andrew about he gave us the official version of the conference last week. We want the dirt now.
The dirt.
Dish the dirt.
Oh. I think the dirt starts with a confession I heard, Andrew, that you had to lie about your age to even get to go to NCYC. Now, is this true?
I didn't lie about my age.
You forgot to tell them how old you were?
No. I'm 25 and the cutoff is 25.
You're too old.
So I was too old by about a month. I managed to convince them that I should go.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that I would be useful. And I would help out around the place.
And did you?
It's arguable.
So that was your last one, then? You can't go to the youth convention again, can you? Because you're old and aged.
Unless I choose to go as an adult volunteer. Because there's actually like a small army of adult volunteers that go along and help out, and they kind of do everything from washing dishes and cleaning bathrooms right through to...
just gorgeous.
Oh,
it sounds horrible.
You know, these things have to be done. But right through to all of the, like the really important spiritual stuff as well, like counselling and those sorts of things, so, like chaplaincy and
so there is that a kind role. But come on, because you're avoiding the question. You're very clever. So come on then, dish the dirt. What goes on behind the scenes?
Well, I don't know whether it was really behind the scenes.
Behind the bike shed.
A little bit of background about NCYC is that it is the National Christian Youth Convention. It's put on by the Uniting Church, and the age group is kind of like 16 to 25. Mm-hmm. And they got probably about 1,000 youth members along to this one just gone. It was actually really cool. My favourite part about it is that it's just full of energy, and it's something that I don't often see. Even in my home church, I don't often see that level of energy and excitement about what's happening. So that's kind of my favourite part about it.
But I think what's lovely is it doesn't matter what the topic of the convention is. When you bring that number of people together, I'm assuming from different parts of the world as well.
Yes, they had a quite a few international delegates.
Yeah,
as well.
And there's a common denominator in terms of the reason why you're there. There's a great buzz, isn't there? There's a great buzz, just a kind of mass of people.
There is a great buzz, yes. And while kind of like everybody's there to make new friends and to do a little bit of networking and then, you know, also have a bit of a boogie with their friends that they've known.
What about romancing?
Well, I think that does happen as well. It just, you know, it happens. You get to know people, and you kind of start building up networks, and you do kind of get to know people from year to year. You
make new friends.
People there and make new friends.
Special friends.
Yeah.
Is there much sleeping done? It sounds like people could party all night, actually.
Well, I'm a little bit of a nana, so I did sleep.
he needs his beauty sleep. Look at him. It's gorgeous.
I do need my beauty sleep. I don't know whether I'd agree with a gorgeous thing. But I do need my sleep. So I managed to sleep. Some of the other people who were at the convention with me were looking quite tired by the end of it. So I'm not sure whether the sleep thing happened for them.
And is there a National Christian Convention for the oldies then? What happens when you're 26, 27 and you're not going to help the youth convention?
Well, there's also another program which is called the School of Discipleship. It's not a national thing. It's run by the New South Wales Synod. And I kind of try and get along to that every year. They have kind of more, it's less energetic and more sort of reflective. And it's a lot smaller. So like the time that I went, there were about 100 people that had come along, but everyone was really like really up to have like a deep and meaningful conversation. Whereas at the National Christian Youth Convention, which is a lot bigger and a bit of a younger crowd, not everybody's keen to dive right in. And I mean, I'm a little bit guilty of just being like, hey, this is my story, and like blurting out everything.
No kidding. Can't imagine you doing that, Andrew.
I'll tell you what, Priesty, we'll have to give him some coaching, I think, won't we?
In what?
Don't blurt it all out immediately.
I know.
We're teasing, we're pulling your leg. Is it time for another track now?
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof, and that's Bertie, Joy and Andrew. And that was the amazing voice of Sandy Patty with David Phelps. Sandy Patty's an amazing woman who was shunned by the Christian community because she was a singer and she ran off with her backing singer and left her husband. And she's come back on the scene, good on her, with a new album.
That sounded really good. Now, Priesty,
Yes, Pommy.
We were talking to Simon earlier from St. Michael's Church, and he was telling all about their contribution to the Midsummer Festival. And I believe the MCC has something going on Sunday night too.
We do. We have what we call a celebration of diversity service happening.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, we just decided that we want to celebrate God's love for us no matter who we are or what we are.
Cool.
That we all are loved and we all deserve to be loved. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have a fun time. We're going to have some loud music, hopefully.
Is there wine?
No. There's supper, though. Will that help?
Is it BYO?
And I'm not going to preach. We are going to have a reflection, but no sermon, you'll be pleased to know.
No sermon, no lecture.
So that was my next question. So how on Sunday night, how does that service differ from your regular Sunday services?
Probably just the liturgy is all around the fact that we're gay and lesbian, transgendered, bisexual. And we don't... Even though we are a church that is inclusive, mm-hmm. and we're started for the GLBTIQ community, we don't necessarily always talk about the fact, mm-hmm. that fact. And we do have straight people at the church, which we appreciate. And we have people at the church that we wouldn't know what their sexuality was,
yeah.
unless they choose to tell us.
Yeah, they just come.
But they feel comfortable there. We try and provide an environment in which people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But our services are very different. Like last night we had three disciples of Jesus come and tell us their stories about what it meant to follow Jesus. And they sat at a table at the front of the church and told their stories. But they were three female disciples, the Samaritan woman, Mary Magdalene, and what was the third one? Joanna, that we really don't know a lot about. So instead of having a sermon, we often have different things where we get the message across.
Yeah.
But not with someone standing up there talking at you.
So where did you find them from?
Oh, we just made them up. No. There's lots of resources out there, and I sometimes write this stuff myself, or I will find a resource and I will change it a bit so that it fits in with what we're trying to say. And
brilliant. So yeah. If people want to join you in the celebration of diversity, where do they go and what time on Sunday?
We would love them to join us. It's 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. We'd like people to be able to get over their hangover from Saturday night. And often people will come to church on their way out again to get another hangover. And we're at MCC Melbourne, 271 Burnley Street, Burnley. Look for the rainbow flag on the church door. That's
fabulous.
Chained so no one pinches it.
Oh, really?
People kept on souveniring our rainbow flags.
We'll have a whip round, shall we, for a flag pole, perhaps?
Oh, no, then we'll have to put up and down every...
Well, come on, you're ringing the bells. You can just...
Well, we don't have any of them either.
All right, then.
Oh, why you look so sad? The tears are in your eyes.
Hello, this is Gretel Colleen and you're tuned into Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, and you are with the three P's on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And in case you haven't listened before, the three P's stands for Joy the Priest, Andrew the Puff, Bertie the Pom. And in fact, we are the four P's because we've got Peter the Panelist.
Evening.
He speaks.
We're still teaching him to speak. Now, we've just been listening to the delightfully gorgeous Chrissie Hynde and the Pretenders. I'll Stand By You, followed quickly by Sting, If I Ever Lose My Faith in You. I saw Chrissie Hynde and the Pretenders at the Palais. Did you?
No,
oh,
I didn't.
Awesome.
When was that?
Awesome. About a month ago. They were Blondie.
Goodness me.
Well, Blondie, bless her. Debbie Harry couldn't move because of the Botox. But
a bit like Joan Rivers.
Yes, yeah. But Chrissie Hynde, wow. I mean, for 59, rock on, girl.
It's amazing how all these artists from the past are all coming back, isn't it?
I know, yeah. They're like reborn, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're fantastic. No, absolutely wonderful. And again, took me back to my student days when Chrissie Hynde the Pretenders first launched. Anyway, I mustn't go on about 100 years ago because
Andrew doesn't understand. He wasn't Andrew, there.
I'm just sitting here going, I don't even know who these people are.
No, he doesn't. You see, most people listening weren't born, so I'll
you
shut
need
up.
To bit educated, darling.
You do. Now it's time for the spirit spa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And actually, Peter the panelist has just asked me if I found tea for boys, following on from last week. And I haven't found tea for boys, but I promise I'll find tea for boys for next week because we only had tea for girls, didn't we?
That's correct. And we are definitely wanting to know some benefits for boys having tea.
He strung a whole sentence together.
We'll applaud him later.
So I will look into tea specifically for men's health. But today we're talking about something totally, totally different. We're talking about labyrinth meditation. Now, if there's anyone listening tonight who practices labyrinth meditation, we would love to hear from you. You can call and speak to the lovely Robert on Switchboard on 1300 569 949. You can SMS on 0427 569 949, or you can email Shmemail onair@joy.org.au. Now, Andrew, you got into this subject at your little convention up on the where were you? Sunshine Coast? Gold Coast. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really cool, actually. I didn't really expect to find a new way of connecting with my spirituality, and I did. It was very effective. It was really cool. So basically, what it was, or the way it was set up at the time that I did it, was they had like a big sheet on the ground, and someone had painted on the sheet like a bit of a path to follow, and it was kind of in a circle shape, but it was like circles that weave in and out of each other, and it's just one path, so you can like never take a wrong turn.
So this was the labyrinth?
Yes.
And you were in a chapel, so you were in a sacred building?
It was in a chapel. I think you can do it in any building, but it does help if it's kind of like a little bit quiet and, you know, like a bit of a reflective space.
Yeah. So what was the experience like? What did you were wandering around in ever decreasing circles or what?
Yes, very much like that.
He found he got his way out of it.
He's wondering when he's going to get to the end, I think.
It leads in and goes into the centre, and there's like a circle at the centre, painted circle, and you kind of just like ponder there for a while, and then you end up making the journey back out again along the path. So your journey in is just as long as your journey back out. Mm-hmm. And the way it was explained to me, which it might be slightly different to the ways that other people use this method, mm-hmm. Is that on your way in, you kind of like hand over things, or I hand over things to God, or get stuff off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of when you get to the center, you kind of listen and wait, mm-hmm. and be patient, and then along the way out, giving thanks for things that you're thankful for in your life, so remembering all the good things.
So it's a reflective journey.
It's a very reflective journey. And I mean, in my case, I would call that a part of my like a prayer thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that it has been used in kind of other religions and other forms.
Now, Priesty, you've had a labyrinth experience, haven't you?
I did. After the bushfires, I went to stay at the Campion Centre in Kew, and they have a labyrinth.
Mm. So what was that like?
And that was an outdoor one, and it was sort of marked out with stones, and it was quite big. But I was a bit unsure. No one actually told me what you meant to do, so I sort of just wandered around and got to the middle and wandered out again.
I was, you know me and my research. I come in looking like an encyclopedia, don't I? It's a shame I'm not that clever. But there is so much on the website, and it's interesting. I mean, it goes back to the Greeks, it goes back to the Italians. These people designed these labyrinths, and they were seen on cave walls, they were seen on roads, they were seen in churches, they were seen in stained glass windows. There's one lady who's very, very interesting, actually. It'd be great to interview her, bringing it into modern day. This lady is called the Reverend Lauren Artress, and in 1992 she brought they call it the form, so the labyrinth is known as the form, to the Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. And since then, over 1 million people have walked the labyrinth on its grounds, with several hundred other labyrinths springing up around the US. She started a trend, I think. And it says, why the sudden interest in this ancient form? And she attributes it to the lack of spiritual awareness in modern culture. And these reflective journeys to find a sense of self, I think, and oneness seems to be quoted a lot. And she says, we lost our sense of connection to ourselves and to the vast mystery of creation. And she's written a book as well. If anyone listening is interested, she's written a book called Walking a Sacred Path. The web of creation has been thrown out of balance. And her book explores that. It sounds really fascinating stuff.
Mm. And the other interesting thing, I might have looked through your notes before the show.
Were you peeking?
You did not. Oh.
The other thing that jumped out for me is that it's a bit different to a maze. Like
yeah.
a labyrinth is more like a path where you can't turn, you can't take a wrong turn.
Yeah. What they say about the labyrinth is walking the labyrinth is more about the journey than the destination, because we know we're going to get to the center. It is about being rather than doing, integrating body, mind and spirit into oneness. There's that word again, oneness. Yeah.
And you're not walking through hedges or anything. So you can't really get lost. I think you could just step over a stone yeah. into the next bit.
Step over a stone onto the other path.
Yes.
Cross the border.
I did that with my sister. There was one at the hospital, outside the hospital where my mum was.
Were you cheating?
And, well, we were laughing a lot as we walked. And, yes, we were cheating because there was lots of big puddles in it. And we were trying to stamp in the puddles, and, you know, but that's...
But I think the difference, because a maze, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? I think a maze is more a horticultural phrase, and a maze also can be square, it can have corners, and it also has dead ends.
Yes.
So a maze is about losing your children in it for like 3 hours.
With a bit of luck.
Yeah, you can go off and have a bottle of wine. Back to wine again. I think people make the mistake of confusing the two, and a maze has many trick turns and dead ends, whereas a labyrinth has one path leading to the centre and back out again. There are no dead ends. So I think the journey is kind of really different. And if you look at the old shapes, labyrinths are all circular, they're all round. Whereas if you look at Maze, which I didn't do, there's a band called Maze. We should have played a song from them, shouldn't we? Next week. If you look at mazes, a lot of them can be square, rectangular, have corners, whatever.
I noticed, though, on one of the websites I looked at, and this is a great website if you're interested, it's labyrinthlinkaustralia.org. So that's labyrinthlinkaustralia.org. And it actually lists where all the labyrinths are in Australia.
Oh, are there any in Melbourne?
Yeah, there's one at Eltham, Kew, Clifton Hill, and there's some other ones in private gardens that you can't actually go. Bacchus Marsh, Lower Plenty.
So are they in churches or are they in church grounds? Well, or
the one at Kew is at the Jesuit place there. Oh, okay. The one at Clifton Hill apparently is just in the path. They don't really, off the path, they don't know who made it. It's just there.
Yeah, so I'm sure I've walked past that Clifton Hill one.
Yeah, so if you're interested.
It's on, it's just by Mary Creek, I think.
Located just off the Mary Creek path in Clifton Hill.
Well, you see, it could have been there for over 4,000 years. Apparently, that's how old they are.
I don't think we've been in Australia that long.
Yeah, well, the Aboriginals might have had labyrinths.
It'd be interesting what they did have. But anyway, back to what I was saying, that you can actually buy ones that you walk with your finger.
Do you
finger labyrinth?
Do you think that would be as effective?
No, I can't see it. But I was looking, and they were quite expensive. I was looking on this website, and they had them for sale. But then we saw a gay one, didn't we? Rainbow
yes, we
one.
Did.
We were very excited while about that.
While we were doing our research, we did find one that was perfect rainbow flag colours. Loved it.
So you can have a labyrinth of any colour, not any shape, because there's, what is it, there's seven rings, 11 or 12.
Yeah,
there are three particular types of labyrinth.
And most of them are seven.
Fascinating. Has anyone emailed us in? No, obviously. Does anyone do labyrinth meditation? No.
No.
And what we were saying earlier, and I was agreeing with this, and that's why I find it interesting, is if I need to solve a problem, if I want to be creative, if I need to get my head around something, what I do is I go and walk. I mean, I don't walk in circles, but I do walk. And I think that sort of space and fresh air, if it's outside, and, you know, walking, I think, does it for me. And so I guess I've got to go and find a labyrinth.
So, well, this labyrinth idea is kind of a little bit of a way to structure your walking meditation, and I guess by encouraging through, like, as far as which point you are at in the maze, encouraging what you're supposed to be thinking about or supposed to be meditating on or reflecting on.
There we go. Mm.
It's quite structured.
And so, our next track and our last track for the show is the Sandy Patty again with Lionel Harris, and it's Emmanuel Medley.
Hi, my name is Josh Thomas, and you're listening to Joy 949, which is it's for gay people.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Bertie, Joy, and Andrew. And that was the absolutely gorgeous, stunning, and Andrew keeps rolling his eyes and shaking his head, Liz Wright, with I'm Confessing. He can't cope with the fact that we find this woman absolutely gorgeous.
Keep waffing on about her.
Well, you see, Joy and I have been drooling over this woman because she is stunningly gorgeous. So we've promised Andrew next week he can have a boy on the computer to drool over, and we'll sit here looking bored.
Well, I'll just bring this Liz Wright along and we can just hold it up. Don't forget, Sunday, the St. Michael's at 10 a.m. is their service, and in the evening, MCC at 7 p.m. is a celebration of diversity service.
And they're both part of Midsummer.
They certainly are.
Get along to that. I love Midsummer time in Melbourne.
So what have you been doing? What have you gone to Midsummer?
Went to see a show last night, Liza on an E.
Any good?
Look, I think a few of the Liza jokes probably went over the top of my head because I'm not...
Because he doesn't know who she is because he's not that old.
Should have brushed up on my history first. but it was quite entertaining. I was well entertained.
She's a great character, Liza Minnelli. Well, she's not sober often, as she bless her, but she's an amazing woman.
She certainly didn't come across as sober.
No.
And you've been to the tennis as part of Midsummer.
Yes, that's my Midsummer is gay. But it's so much more accessible than Wimbledon, you see, because, I mean, I used to live near Wimbledon, but I could never get in. Whereas here, you just potter along and buy a ticket. It's fabulous.
And that is goodbye from Joy the Priest.
And Bertie the Bomb.
And Andrew the Poof.
We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
And Peter the Palace.
Hello, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're tuned in to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.